This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. We're recording it in late February 2022. Of course, I know that people listen to podcasts much later, so I wanted to let you know the time frame, because today we're going to talk about the truckers in Canada who are standing up for their rights. And I'm going to talk to a longtime friend of mine, a Canadian himself, who is going to kind of tell us about the mood of the country and also talk about the difficulties that people that have a conservative perspective are experiencing in that country. And of course, we who are Americans, it's a different country. A lot of things are different. But you know what? We're going to face some of those same things. And in fact, some people are. So you don't want to miss my conversation with my Canadian friend about the trucker convoy. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, welcome back and welcome to you, my friend. We decided to do this anonymously, even though I have known you since the 1990s. And, of course, I reached out to you with all this going on because I don't personally have that many contacts in Canada, even though my parents lived up there for a number of years, but they're both gone now. And of course, I didn't live up there. So, you know, you explained that you could be hassled or have other problems with your name. So I agreed to talk to you without it, even though I know you very, very well. So just tell me, let's start off there. Why is it so dangerous for people to know that you're doing a podcast about the trucker convoy?
Well, actually, it's interesting. Now that they passed the Emergency Act, they've actually, some of the banks as of yesterday and the day before have not been able to, the top five banks, people have not been able to pull their money out. They have been closing people's accounts or seizing their accounts or just not allowing them to withdraw any funds. And so if you contributed to the convoy, they actually can close down your accounts or at least not let you access money. And so they're making it difficult for Canadians who support it.
What basis do they do that? You know, when you put money in the bank, you should be able to withdraw it. That's scary that the government can shut down bank accounts. What did they base that on?
Yesterday they passed extra legislation regarding the anti-terrorism and money laundering that says that they can actually now do that to your account and make it so you can't access your money or your funds if you're involved.
So in other words, they're saying these people are terrorists? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, Justin Trudeau's rhetoric has been pretty heavy-handed. There was a CBC reporter on site about a week ago, and they had somebody plant a Nazi flag and take pictures of it and have it all over the radio, which is our government, you know, sanctioned radio that's paid for by the government. And that was on the radio and in the newspapers. And so, you know, they've pitched it as very, that we're racists, white supremacists, you know, terrorists, and basically saying anyone who supports it is supporting terrorism to a certain degree. And so they've given the banks power to do that. And so, is actually interesting. Several banks yesterday were actually totally shut down in Canada, and people could not access their money because so many people were going out and withdrawing their money from the banks.
In response to this prejudiced action on the part of the government, that is crazy.
I know.
And you know, if I remember correctly, Justin Trudeau was very complimentary of the Black Lives Matter activists who were actually setting fires to buildings, shooting people, looting stores. You know, this would have been mainly in the summer of 2020. Yet, yeah, from what I can tell and from what our own reporting on Charisma News is that the truckers are entirely peaceful. One of our writers said that they were even singing hymns, that his children felt totally safe. They were giving out free food. I realize that it was probably localized where he was, but this is entirely different, where there were riots in different cities in the United States by the left. But when the right stands up for their rights, no pun intended, they're called terrorists. I mean, this is almost like something out of a strange science fiction political novel. It's hard for me to believe it, but you're telling me it's true.
Yeah, and then you know the funny thing about it, actually people call Justin Trudeau the little potato or little Castro, because if you take a look at his picture and compare it, he very much looks like Fidel. And you know, if you take the age of Fidel in his 30s and 40s, and same with Justin, you know, his mother had very close relationship with him, so they actually think he's a bastard child of Fidel Castro. And it's commonplace knowledge in throughout all of Canada. It's kind of like a joke online.
That's crazy.
And so maybe he's actually, you know, he's taking on some of the character of his father. It's pretty sad. Canada has been under siege, you know, with our freedoms. One of the pastors, his name is Artur Pawlowski from Calgary. He's actually from Poland and escaped from Poland from all the tyranny and communism there. He's been preaching out for freedom. He does a lot of street ministry in Calgary, and he's been arrested many times. And he preached last week, had a real rousing sermon saying to people, hold the line. And the next day the police staked out his house, came and pulled him out of his house and put him in jail. He's been in solitary confinement. They only allow him 1 hour a day to talk to his family and his lawyers. And he was not even allowed food for several days, and the conditions are horrible. They actually had him in a dog kennel on two different occasions for many hours.
Now, I happen to know him. I did a very interesting podcast with him. Would have probably been about 6 months ago. It would be on the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. You could listen to it. In fact, maybe I'll get it out and do something with it again. But so he preached a sermon. Now, was he calling for the overthrow of the government? Was he slandering people in any way? What did he do that was so wrong that he got arrested?
Well, what he's saying is that now is the time. If we don't hold the line, if we don't stand our ground, this is our last stand against this government. And if we don't hold the line for freedom, we may very well be entering a very dark chapter in the life of Canada.
Well, that's sad to think about. So let's talk about how this whole thing started. It started with truckers in the western part of Canada who did a convoy across the nation, ended up in your nation's capital of Ottawa. So just talk about, you know, there are a lot of people that feel like something should be done, but they don't know each other. A few people will do something, it kind of fizzles out, or maybe the authorities put it down or try to stamp it out in some way. How did this catch on, and how did it get so big? Because one of the reports that I heard said that it's almost like a mile or 2 square mile area around the Capitol, the Parliament building, where these truckers is almost like gridlock. There are so many people. How did this, you know, you're up there, you kind of know the mood. How did this happen?
You know, this, from my understanding, was in the works even last year. There's been numerous people who have been fighting for freedom. One organization is called Unity Canada, and they actually have a contract that they've drafted up with lawyers that they were presenting to the government that would basically, it's like their terms of surrender for them to stop standing up for freedom and leaving the Capitol. So they've been working on this for some time, and they decided on a certain day. What the straw that broke the camel's back was the vaccine passports for truck drivers across the border. And as of the 15th of January and the 23rd of January for the U.S. side, it was imposed so that nobody can go across the border and transport goods for commercial reasons without having a vaccine passport. And there's a lot of people who are against it. There's so many statistics that show the issues people are having with it health-wise and the adverse effects. So they picked a date, obviously, but I think that was the catalyst. When that happened, truckers were like, they lost their jobs. They had to quit. There was nothing else to do. They're like, okay, we lost our jobs. What else do we do? We stand for freedom. So let's get together. And it was literally that week, at the end of the week on Sunday, they left in the Vancouver area, and there was people on the highway every single overpass. I mean, thousands of people cheering them on with flags as they drove out of town. The whole place in Vancouver, everything was fogged in and the roads were slippery. And CBC Radio reported, that's the mainstream fake news in Canada, that the truckers were protesting terrible road conditions. That's what the mainstream news reported, that truckers were out protesting that. So, but it wasn't that. They were out you know, with the Freedom Convoy. They headed across, and it started, it was about an hour long by the time they hit the interior of British Columbia through the mountains. And by the time they got to Alberta, it was probably about an hour and a half in length, the whole convoy. And they had picked up thousands of people along the way. And by the time social media was sharing this information out, people started coming and gathering, saying they were going to come from up north. And we even heard of people that they were going to start coming from Alaska. There was people from the U.S. who had said they were going to come up with their rigs. And people from all over basically said, we're coming, we're coming. And there was many groups that started up. There's an online walkie-talkie group out there called Zello, with all the truckers who chat with each other. And they started groups on that. And so they're all communicating with each other, and there was thousands of people on there, and you could hear the children going, thank you, truckers, we love you. And it was very adorable having all the little children. Every hour they would have, you know, 10, 15 minutes for the children. It was just, you know, a movement of hope. I think that was what it was. It was finally, after all the lockdowns, we finally have some hope, because there's a group of people who are willing to take a stand for freedom. And the truckers, their whole message was, the honking will not stop until freedom returns. That was what it was. And that was, man, that first weekend in Ottawa was absolutely unbelievable. The report from the police, Ontario Police Department, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, RCMP, they reported that there was about 2.3 million people in the whole area of Ottawa, and there was about 150,000 trucks throughout the whole region. It wasn't just downtown Ottawa. Not everyone could make it down there, so there was farms that were staging grounds where farmers who had big fields would allow people to park their rigs, and there'd be 200 or 300 rigs in different fields here and there. It was absolutely mind-boggling, and there were so many people reporting on it. And the mood downtown Ottawa was absolutely jubilant. Kids holding flags. They had bouncy castles set up. People were cheering, singing O Canada. People were hugging strangers. Free food was given away. Like, it was just, watching the whole movement was absolutely incredible. And I have several friends who went, and it is absolutely mind-boggling, just watching the wave begin to transcend towards Ottawa and then stay there. And then we heard that there was going to be a group of people who were going to go to Washington, D.C., and then other countries started getting their own convoys. And we've heard, so far, I've heard that it's over 50 different countries which now have convoys. It's absolutely astounding.
It really is, and it's so grassroots, and people are getting tired. And in our country, and especially in my state, which we like to call the free state of Florida, where the lockdowns and things and the mask mandates and everything else have been just like a fraction of anywhere else, even the Democrats, who are the ones that are kind of pushing this narrative, are backing up, because they figured out that there's going to be a bloodbath, so to speak, at the polls, not literally, but figuratively, in the terms of them losing the elections next fall, because this is just so absolutely insane. And if you watch the news in San Francisco, which has got to be the most liberal city in America, three school board members out of three, they have seven school board members, but only three were up for recall, and all three of them were soundly thrown out of office. And it wasn't over the vaccine necessarily. It was over opening up the schools, the school board was busy trying to rename, if I remember correctly, 23 schools, some of which had names like Abraham Lincoln and so forth, but somehow these people had a narrative that these names were for people that were not politically correct anymore. And that's how they were spending their time rather than getting the kids back to school. And the parents in this very, very liberal city said, enough is enough. And so there's like a backlash. Do you think that's going to happen in Canada? Or do you think that the government is just going to double down and make this into a police state and ultimately crush these people?
Well, you know, it's really interesting about this. The weekend before, over 50% of the police in Ottawa handed in their resignations. 50%. And 2 days ago, the Ottawa chief of police, he resigned as well. Now, he had been demanding arrests and brutal, you know, actions against the protesters, and the police wouldn't do it. And so he finally stepped down. Justin Trudeau told the army to come in, and they refused to do anything. They said, we will not stand against our people. So there are people, these people have sworn an oath to the Queen, to the Crown, to uphold the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And that is their duty. They are supposed to uphold our laws. And our government is involved in tyranny and sedition against its own people. Justin Trudeau is guilty of treason. He's guilty of racketeering. The vaccine, people have had enough. He's actually involved in taking a royalty from the patent holders of the spike protein. And it's in Vancouver. It's a company in Vancouver who holds the patent, and they produce the patent for the whole world for this spike protein that goes into the vaccine that Pfizer and Moderna sell. So there is a huge backlash taking place. It's, you know, there right now, I tried to call the Governor General's office and basically call for a vote of non-confidence, because if you call and enough people call, I think 3.5% of Canadians, then the Governor General can actually do something to begin removing Justin Trudeau from office. I was on hold for almost an hour and I could not get through. There are so many people who are calling to try to get through and ask him to be removed from office. People have had it. The people have had it with this whole tyrannical lockdown. And there is many ministers of parliament who are making their voices heard online that are standing up against the tyranny. The requirements at this point that Justin Trudeau needs to meet in order to keep this Emergencies Act in place is a very, very high bar. And there's nothing, going through all the details, all the members of parliament who've spoken on it, and then I've listened to their online review of it, there's nothing that he can do that can actually even meet the standard for an Emergencies Act. So I think he's on his last legs. I think this is his last stand, his last rant.
But how is that possible? He's got all the levers of power. He's got this Emergency Act, which sounds almost dictatorial. When you can arrest a minister for preaching a sermon, or you can freeze people's bank assets just because they disagree with you, you know, it seems almost like he could just hunker down and survive this, but you're predicting that he won't. What would trigger that? Is Parliament going to have to vote against him? Can you have a recall up there? Of course, that takes weeks and weeks, and we saw what happened with Gavin Newsom down in California. Nothing. And if anything, he's more entrenched than ever, although I personally think that that ruined his chances of being president someday, but that's just my own opinion. But you're predicting that Justin Trudeau is going to lose, and if he does, that would be huge in terms of what's happening in Australia and New Zealand, in which I understand is just as bad. I had a podcast with an Australian pastor in which he was just telling, you know, they don't have a convoy, you know, there's differences, but just how oppressive the government was. And I had like four or five Australians email me and chastise me for not reporting fairly. And I replied and said, this was not a two-sided report. It was an interview with someone who felt strongly about this, telling, you know, his view of what's going on here in America. We don't really know what's going on in Australia, but it would be huge if Trudeau loses. I mean, even affecting the Biden administration, I don't want to try to explain it. I'm not a Canadian. I'm struggling to understand your politics. In fact, when I would go up and visit my parents when they lived in Canada, I would watch your parliament on television. It was something to behold. They would yell at each other and do all kinds of things that seemed kind of interesting to me as an American. But go ahead. What really makes you think that Trudeau has gone too far?
Well, I think the mood of the Canadians is that they've just had enough. And the Governor General actually does have a lot of authority, because the Governor General is the one who goes to the Queen and says, this is the Prime Minister who's going to be running Canada, and they approve it. So they could actually go and tell them that Prime Minister has lost the confidence of the people. So that is actually something that could take place. So if 3.5% of Canadians do call and they're able to tabulate that and they follow the rule of law, which that's been written into our law, that could actually take place. I think for people to see what's going on, you're starting to see the cracks in the matrix start to appear. I think that's where we're at right now. I mean, the House still has to debate this, and they have 7 days. The Senate still has to debate it. And then they have to actually come up with a plan and present it that's passed. So it's a pretty high bar, and it only stays in place for a month, this whole Emergencies Act that they are looking to implement. So it's hard to say. I hope and pray. There's a lot of people praying, you know, that there will be a change in the winds and that freedom will triumph and that God will reign. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're trusting. And that's what faith is about, right?
Amen. In fact, let me close this podcast by asking about the faith question. We've been talking about politics and the vaccines and all the different things. But really, we did talk about Pastor Arthur a minute ago. And when free speech rights are withheld, religious rights are right there with it. But what is the church doing, or how is this affecting religious freedom? Or, you know, maybe another question is, all the things that are going on, I believe, is really kind of a spiritual warfare of people that are kind of anti-God, you know, oppressing the people and so forth. But as a Christian for many, many years, because I've known you many years, I'm just interested in your perspective spiritually.
Yeah, you know, I think tide is rising. I think people are beginning to wake up. There's a great number of people who have been very pro left and who are no longer taking that stand. And I think people, I think people have been calling out to God a lot more. I know one of my friends who's down at in Ottawa at the Freedom Convoy there, he said he's never heard so many God bless yous ever in one place at any type of a rally in his life. He just can't even believe how many people are, you know, mentioning the name of God. And even when I listen to the people talking online, how they talk about God and Jesus and God bringing freedom to our land, it's a heart's cry of all the people of this nation that we live in freedom and for people to understand. And I think many people are waking up and realizing that God is our foundation and that God always has been our foundation. So I think it's a very telling time. And I think we're going to have a great turning back to God once everything opens up. And it could be, you know, a major move of God. That's kind of what I could see taking place. People will be relieved, breath of fresh air, and they'll be like, okay, let's go back to church, let's get back involved, let's walk in love. The whole attitude of the people down in Ottawa is love and peace, and sharing this love and peace with each other. And the author of the love and peace is God. So, you know, I think God is doing a new thing here, and that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well, I appreciate you agreeing to be on my podcast. You know, as your friend, I thank you for that. I, of course, honored your desire to be anonymous, but I just encourage people to share this with your friends, whether they're in Canada or the United States. We need to get this word out. It's not reported very widely, and even with some of the conservative media who would, you know, report it differently than the mainstream media, of course, they don't talk about the spiritual aspect. And as Christians, we have to believe that God is doing something. And in fact, we have a story online. You may want to look at it on Charisma News. It's called, "When God Couldn't Find Enough Bold Pastors, He Called Truckers." It's by Jim Garlow. And I just thought it was a very interesting article. It was on Charisma News today. And of course, people will be listening to this podcast for a long time from now. And I'm glad to say that the podcast is growing. It's over 1 million downloads since the first of the year. And that's because people come every day and listen and also share it. If you listen to it on iTunes or on Spotify, if you give us a good rating, that helps us a little bit. Or, of course, you can come to the Charisma Podcast Network and listen to it. Thank you again for tuning in to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you, and God bless Canada.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.